This is Hillside Church's Sermon of the Week. Thank you so much for listening. To find out more about our church, our ministries, and our outreaches, please visit hillsidechurch.us.
Good morning. It's so great to see so many of you. I had such a great time last night, as I know some of our team here today did as well. We're coming off of Kids Fest, which was just last night, this past Saturday, from 5 to 10 p.m. And what a great event that was. I don't say that lightly. I was here for the duration of it, and I can honestly say our kids ministry team and Mitch and Jenny, who are our kids director, and his wife did such a phenomenal job at creating an event that was not only fun, but it was also uplifting and encouraging, as well as we had a time of worship for the kids to set their attention and focus on God, and then hear a great message of hope for these kids, that they would trust Jesus with their lives. And so one of the highlights for me, while I was running the inflatable obstacle course, which we had right here in the auditorium. But one of the highlights for me was just seeing so many kids and families who have never come to church here before. And one of our goals with this was to be an outreach, just to show the love of God and to infuse people with hope. You know, we're in a time, not only in our culture, but all across the globe, where people need hope. They need the hope that comes only in Jesus. And so I just wanted to say that at the outset. We celebrate that team. Thank you for your hard work and all your effort and energy. Well, we want to always welcome, take a moment and say thank you for visiting with us. Welcome our first-time guests. We're so glad that you're here. And I quickly want to take a moment, bring you up to speed. We have been in a series called Uphill Habits. You know, the thesis is that most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. And most of us, including myself, from time to time, you know, I've got a dream, I've got a vision, I've got a desire in my heart, a goal that I want to reach, whether, you know, at the beginning of the year for us, you know, whether it's we want to lose some weight, and we're realizing very quickly, man, our appetite has created some bad habits in our life. And so maybe you're like me and you start that calorie counting and realize, my goodness, some of the food I was putting in my mouth during November and December is, you know, in one sitting amounts to an entire day's worth of calories. So we have to adjust some of the habits there. But the aim is that we would step into and reach all that God has for us in our lifetime, that we would be husbands and wives and parents and sons and daughters and teens and young adults and co-workers, and for some of us, bosses, for other of us, employees, that honor God, that love the people around us, and that truly live the life that Jesus called for us to live in John 10:10. The abundant life, a life that is full and overflowing. And just like I said at the beginning, that we would be able to give others hope. And so we've started this series and we've just titled it Uphill Habits, and it's a new direction for a new year. It's an encouragement to you, and I wanted to equip you with several habits that if you put these before you on a daily basis, I believe they will help you, lead you to some of the goals, spiritual goals, financial goals, friendship goals, relational goals, marital goals, etc. These habits encompass, honestly, they affect every arena of your life. And you know, one of the responsibilities of a pastor isn't simply just to teach you God's word. That's vital, but it's also to equip you to live your life according to the statutes and the truth and the grace and the mercy and the hope we find within God's word. And so if I was to kind of big picture label this series, I would say, look, this is one of our more practically minded series. And here's why. My hope is that we create simple steps that you can begin to implement in your life And that at the end of this year, you would look back and be able to say, my goodness, these habits weren't easy. These habits didn't just come naturally to me, but I put forth the effort, I put forth the energy, I put forth the focus, and what an incredible year it has been. And so habit number one, just to bring you up to speed, was to prioritize God, put God first. Habit number two was that we would monitor our thinking, that we would live a life where we just didn't get bombarded by culture and live our life according to the thoughts of others or the opinions of others or influences to try to climb the ladder of success. But we honestly would look at God's word, which we did, and begin to monitor our thinking, begin to monitor the way we process life, and taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ, as Paul would encourage in the New Testament. And today, we're talking about habit number three, and I'm just going to say it on the outset here. It's to keep my life aligned with my purpose. So keep my life aligned with my purpose. I have a bold belief that none of us here were created by accident. None of us here were a surprise to God. We may have been a surprise to our parents. We may have been a surprise to some of our siblings, but I promise you, you weren't a surprise to God. In fact, in Psalm chapter 139, which is our foundational verse today, in verse 16, it says that all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Think on that. David's writing in Psalm 139, and in verse 16, this is what he pens. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We understand through Scripture that God foreknew, he foresaw, if you will, you. And that I truly believe you were created for such a time as this. You haven't moved to this area by accident. It's not just by chance. But I honestly believe that as sons and daughters of God, that as we follow Christ, I'll tell you this, our purpose begins to be revealed. One of the things that captured my heart in my teenage years is when I wrestled with this very scripture and began to understand that God did have a plan, that he did have a purpose for my life. The thing that I think many of us would say we struggle with is culture, especially here in the United States, can be so distracting, that even Solomon would write in Proverbs, and he would say, man, give careful thought to your steps. That's what we're doing in this series, Uphill Habits. We're giving careful thought to our year. Many of you have jumped in and are participating in our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I commend you for that. And the reason we do that is because we say, look, God, we're giving careful thought to our year, and we want to give you this first portion of our year. We want to fast, we want to draw closer to you, and we want to lay down our plans, and we want to submit ourselves to you. And so through the prayer and fasting, we've been asking, okay, God, what's your plan? How can we align our lives to our purpose that you've given us and you've called for us to do? I was really came face to face with this idea and this thought and of course these scriptures last month. Like several of you, I know I've been doing some calls, following up with some of you. You've been hit physically. Whether it's the flu or the stomach bug or some sort of virus. Last month, I guess it was my turn, and I went to urgent care and, you know, got to sign up there. I brought some of my books with me because I knew, my goodness, it's going to be a little bit of a wait. And sure enough, it was. And about 90 minutes in, they called me back after registering and getting all the paperwork done and seeing patients. They finally got me back to a room. And guess what? They took my vitals, and then guess what we get to do? We get to wait some more. Well, I did what is pretty popular nowadays. I put down some of my study material, and I just grabbed my phone. I bought the distraction for a moment, and I was scrolling through social media, and I stumbled upon a video. And then that video, come on, you ever fallen into that trap? That video led to another video that led to another video. And then it stumbled into a video of an organization that I just love. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. It's called Charity Water. And this video that I began, not fully knowing it was going to be 10 minutes of my time, but I thought, hey, I've got some time to spare. I'm sitting in urgent care, and they said it's going to be a wait. And so I'm just sitting there, and I'm watching this video. And this video, it begins to share the story of Scott Harrison, who is the founder and CEO of Charity Water. And he began to share some of his personal story. He grew up in a Christian home, going to church, had friends that were good influences in his life, and was for all intents and purposes following God. And then he kind of self-identifies, and he just admits, look, my life took a turn sideways. After I graduated high school, he would say, I ran in the other direction. I left my childhood beliefs. I left, you know, my safe, healthy family upbringing, and I began to experiment and run in other directions. And he landed up becoming very good at what he did, and here's what he did. He began to contract himself out with nightlife clubs all throughout New York City and Manhattan. And he would organize parties for groups of people. And so he would be hired as a go-between, getting famous people, you know, celebrity people, good-looking people into the clubs to fuel their businesses, their parties, and their economy. And he was very good at what he did. And he was very busy with what he did. And, you know, one year he was out celebrating with friends. They had planned a party, and they had gone actually down to South America, one of the party cities down there. And he had a New Year's celebration. And sure enough, the year turned, much like we just experienced. It went from December to January. And as he recollects, he just said, my goodness, is this all there is to living? Is it all about chasing money? Is it all about just chasing, for him, ladies? Is it all about just chasing success? Or is there something more to living? And he began taking stock of his life, began to take stock of where he was and how he was living and what he was doing. And he realized, man, I need to just come clean. I need to break ties. I need to just change my life. And honestly, we can look back, and I was watching the video, and I was thinking, man, that's just like God. But he didn't over-spiritualize it. He just said, man, this was me assessing how things were, which is incredibly self-aware. And he realized he was just on this hamster wheel that was leading nowhere fast. And he picked up some habits, some drug habits, some drinking habits, some other habits that weren't healthy. Whether you're spiritual or not spiritual, everybody would say these aren't healthy habits. And he had taken stock and realized, man, he had some addictions in his life, and he did something radical. He said, man, I'm just going to change my life. And he took the bold move of applying to several organizations where their purpose and plan was helping the less fortunate. And so he would send out letter after letter, including resumes of all of his experiences and what he could bring to the table. But because of the way he had lived the last several years, and because of his reputation, these organizations naturally just, the process would only reach the letter, and they would say, man, you're unqualified to be part of our organization. You don't fit the bill of what we're looking for. But lo and behold, there was one organization. As he recalls, he said, they sent a response. They got back with me, and they said, listen, Scott, you can be part of our organization, but here's the deal. We're not going to pay you. We're not even going to cover your costs. You've got to pay us to be part of it. But Scott found himself so desperate for change, so desperate to break ties with the life he had been living, that he said, man, I'm in. And no kidding, for 1 year, he paid $500 a month to travel with an organization called Mercy Ships. Mercy Ships is an organization making a tremendous difference all around the world. Well, one of the strangest things began to happen for Scott. He began to daily wake up with his itinerary, with his plan, and he began to meet and see these doctors that were performing these life-changing surgeries on patients in the poorest areas of the world, and in the poorest areas, especially marginalized places of Africa. And so what Mercy Ships does is they pull their ship into that country, and they go throughout the villages, and the doctors who volunteer their time actually perform these life-transforming surgeries. Major, major facial work, primarily jaw work. It's incredible. And Scott was volunteering his time to just take pictures and to kind of recap of the days and some of these surgeries. So he would go throughout the villages, go throughout the days, just taking stock. Well, Scott stumbled upon a desperate need. While Mercy Ships was meeting a tremendous need medically, he began, as he would go day by day in these villages and see the way they orbited their lives around, and he began to notice that the young children and the women who were sent to go get water, some of them would have to walk several miles to find suitable drinking water. And so he began to follow some of them, and what he thought would be suitable drinking water, he was appalled by. They were filling bottles, buckets, with water that had insects, worms, all sorts of viruses. And something on the inside of him jumped, and he realized he wanted to make a difference. Let me put the pause button on that story. I'm sure you're tracking with me, but just to bring to case or bring to mind a pivotal point. Scott's life had problems. He had habits that needed to change. He had issues that needed to change. He had sin that needed to be broken in his life, and he needed to be transformed. But what didn't come to Scott was a program. What didn't come to Scott was some new book or new concept. What came alive to Scott was purpose. And purpose, when he aligned his life to something greater than himself, to a story that was more important than just me, myself, and I, the problems landed up taking care of themselves. The things he was addicted to began to drift away. That habits that had formed that were wrong and leading to destruction, they began to stop. All because Scott had become consumed with a purpose that was greater than himself. And so he would finish that year with Mercy Ships. And he, at the time, knew he was good at one thing. And that was organizing parties. And that's exactly what he did. But he did it completely different than he had. He got with his friends, some of them owners of clubs, some of them celebrities, some of them pretty high ups in the party life, and he charged them an admission fee. And here's what he said: look, this admission fee isn't going to me, it's going to this organization, to this ministry called Charity Water, and here's what your money will do. Your money will make a difference in providing clean, living water and sustainable source of life for families in Africa and throughout the world who don't have access to clean water. And what's remarkable is it was a hit. Many people came to the party. Many people obviously paid to come in, and he gave a short presentation, and the passion and the fire from that just spread exponentially. So much so that they now, the video I watched was 10, it was their 10-year celebration. And he was casting vision of where they're heading and what's been taking place. But I don't want to focus so much, even though it's an incredible organization, Charity Water is mind-blowing. But what I want to focus on is what happened. How does a story like that take place? And here's how it takes place with this habit we introduced. Scott, knowingly or unknowingly, aligned himself to his purpose. And the problems that may have highlighted his life, they began to drift and shift away. And for many of us, if we're not careful, we become so distracted or consumed with things that are less important in life, and they don't fuel our purpose. But if somehow this month, if somehow this week you can slow down, if somehow this week you can pray, if maybe for you it's jumping in our growth track and learning what spiritual gifts you have and coming to understand that, look, you weren't created by accident, but there's actually a purpose and plan for your life. I use the story of Scott. I could use the story of many of you in here. Marriages that were on the rocks in some cases have come alive because of the hope you found in Jesus. And by beginning to step in, jumping into our dream team and making a difference in other people's lives, you've been awakened to what we just call divine purpose and aligning your life and realizing that as a husband or as a wife, look, you have a purpose to love your spouse. And it's greater than just the self-serving habit, but it's a habit that truly can transform the lives of those around you. And so I want to unpack this briefly, and I'll reference the story I just shared because it is so remarkable. But my prayer and my hope is that as we fix our eyes on God this year, as we let Jesus transform us from the inside out, we will step into the purposes and plans he has for us. Psalm 139:16, just a reminder, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Keep my life aligned with my purpose. Well, why? I have three quick reasons. Because I have a purpose. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Paul would write and he says, look, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I mean, Paul didn't know that as some idea. He knew that in reality. And here he is encouraging this fragile, vulnerable church in Ephesus. And he says, listen. You were created. You were created as God's workmanship. You were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to have a purpose, to have a meaning, to make a difference. And it doesn't have to be some organization that you start up that brings in millions of dollars. No. It happens right where you are, that you begin to see every person as created in the image of God. And every facet of your life, it becomes an opportunity for you to live on purpose, on mission, sharing and showing the love of God. So it's because you have a purpose. Another reason we bring this to the forefront, I've kind of alluded to it, but listen, because there's competition for my time and attention. If you haven't realized that yet, you will shortly. I mean, there is competition for your time and attention. Many of you teenagers know that. You young adults, several of you college students, you recognize, oh my goodness, I'm just trying to get to graduation. I know one of our team leaders, their daughter's they're in their final semester. She's in her final semester. And I was chatting with them before service. I said, man, do you know what's her next step? And, you know, we're just dialoguing about that. And here's what he said. He said, make it to May 1st. May 1st is graduation. And for some of you, that's what you need to hear. You know, there are so many things distracting you. Maybe you're consumed with the future. And here's the deal. Focus on what God is giving you for this moment. There's so many things that battle for our attention. We're in a culture of more. But as Solomon would write in Ecclesiastes 4:6, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Like, let's be content with God's purposes and plans for our life, and let's give it everything we got to align with that. There's going to be competition for your time and attention. I think of some of the responsibilities and purposes I have as a pastor, not just in my work as a pastor, but think about my life. I think of my responsibilities as a husband, as a father, as a friend, as a leader. All of the different opportunities to distract. You know, there's power in a two-letter word called no. Sometimes to go after what's best, we have to forsake what is simply good. So because you have a purpose, because there's competition for time and attention, and because time is short. James 4, 13 through 15, the brother of Jesus, James, he says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? And here it is. You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. It's a pivotal perspective shift for our life. One of the greatest uphill habits you can have is that at the beginning of this year, and I encourage you on a daily basis, a weekly basis, just to check the schedule, just to again kind of let the compass of your life shoot towards that north, straight, true north, like we're moving in the right direction. We're not drifting. We're not shifting as a family. I shared this in uphill habit number one, putting God first. I asked the question, my goodness, what would it look like for your family to attend church every Sunday? What would it look like to give God the first 15 minutes of our day? What would it look like for the first words out of our mouth to be praise and gratitude? Those little moments can land up transforming a lifetime. And so we've got to recognize, man, time's short. Let's prioritize what needs to be prioritized. And so I want to give you a few tools in just a few minutes. We'll be done here shortly. We talk about this habit and mastering this habit. Okay, what can he do practically? These are going to be simple like they have been every weekend. First off, you've got to decide what is important. Take a few minutes at the beginning of the day. Begin to look over your work schedule. Okay, what's vital? Begin to look over your life. Okay, what is most important? Because if you don't decide for yourself, someone else will decide for you. If you don't decide for yourself, okay, what is number one? Someone else will decide for you. I think of culture and its commercials and its advertisements and the deals it's trying to make, you know, with us. And if we're not careful, all of a sudden culture's deciding things for us. The pressures of outsiders. Come on, you ever found yourself influenced by somebody else? They made a decision and here you are in the midst of it and you're thinking, oh my gosh, why did I do this? Why did I sign up for this? You know, maybe it was a job suggestion. I'll never forget. Oh my goodness. Several years ago, somebody gave me a job suggestion to work for this company. And I did. I took it and I realized, oh my goodness, it seemed like a good decision, but it was not. I'll save you the details. It was a rough month. I lasted a month and then I shifted back to something that aligned more with my purpose. And you'll have to at times decide what's important. Think of this. Think of the current presidential administration. I don't say anything right or left, if that makes sense. It doesn't matter where you fall politically, but every president and his cabinet and leadership, they all have an agenda. Somewhere, hopefully before they took office, they decided what would be important, and they run on that. They go through an entire election cycle, the whole process. They debate, and what are they debating on? They're debating on what they and their team has decided what is important. And so this president right now, he's upsetting tons of people. Well, guess what? The president before him upset tons of people. And you will have to face the same thing in your life. When you decide what is important, when you align your life with your purpose, I'm just going to tell you this right now, you will let some people down. But can I encourage you? As long as you are submitted and surrendered to God and you're aligning with his divine purpose, guess what? That truly is all that matters. It's all that matters. And so I think of, like, you know, just watching the news cycle. My goodness, I don't think a day goes by where the current sitting president isn't getting cheap shots, or in some cases, not cheap shots, big shots are making claims against this administration. And depending on kind of which aisle you fall, you know, you may be in that boat. But can I tell you, it's the same thing that happened in the last president. There's not a president this hasn't happened for. But somewhere in the line, this administration decided what are their top priorities. And they're going to do their best to move heaven and earth to bring those things to pass. Well, the same is for us. We have to, as individuals, decide what is important. You know, what is important? Maybe you've never thought about that. Maybe as an individual or even as a couple, if you're married, you need to do this as husband and wife and decide, look, as a family, what is important? There have been several no's that we've said for our daughter right now. Some are budgetary. Others are just time. We realize, man, she's involved in school, and school's got a lot of different things going on. We haven't signed her up. We've signed her up for some. We're not going to sign her up for all sorts of extracurricular activities, except when we know that they will help with our overall divine purpose. She'll play sports. Don't misread me. She'll have hobbies. She'll have extracurricular activities. But we're not going to exhaust our children when they're in such vulnerable, if you will, fragile, formative years. For Kelly and I, our number one priority for our children is to provide a place where they will grow into who God has called them to be, and that they will know Him, walk in relationship with Him, and trust Him. So here's the deal. I know, all right, I know I'm a pastor. I get that. If I wasn't a pastor, when we first move up here, there was a season of several months before the church was planted. Guess what? We went to church. We took our kids to church because that's priority. And not only that, throughout the week, I end our evenings sowing in, pouring into my kids. I don't take it for granted. I'm very intentional. And why? Because, listen, culture is going to decide things for them. But as Joshua would say, hey, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have to begin to grapple with some of those things. I'm not saying just that. I'm saying you think about, my goodness, what are our priorities as a family? How will we look 5 years from now? If we did everything we're doing right now and we followed this trend 5 years from now, you know, will our kids, number one, will our kids and us as parents have a good relationship? Will our kids be serving God? And it's not just in the realm of the family unit. Think about you as an individual. The job you're in, is your only goal in the job you're in money? I would propose to you, God didn't create you for a J-O-B. He created you for a calling. And I know several people that are called into the business sector. And so they don't just see it as an opportunity to make money. They see it as advancing the kingdom of God. And so I want to encourage you, man, decide what's important. I love this. Philippians 3:7-8, Paul would write, whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss when I compare it to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Think of that, just the sincerity. I want that just to kind of simmer in your heart for a moment. Paul's writing, he says, listen, these decisions, maybe some of these plans, maybe some of these journeys I've gone on and these steps that I've taken, now that I've reached this place in life and I'm looking back and I'm understanding, he says, man, when I consider these things, I realize they're a loss when I compare them to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I love it. You can clearly see his life has been transformed from the inside out. He has an uphill habit. The early church had uphill habits, and they aligned to their purpose. That's part of the thing. Listen, relationship with God isn't simply raising your hand, making a decision to go to heaven. No. When we surrender our lives, we come up under the purposes and the plans of God. All of a sudden, we become a piece to God's great puzzle, if you will, and God's great story. We become a page in His story. It's not our story, it's His story. And how do we jump in? He calls us. comes alive within us. We serve something greater than ourselves. And that's what we're after. But you have to let, the reason today's message is what it is because it takes intentionality. Make a decision. Will you as individuals and families, even you teenagers, maybe you just needed this nudge. Some of you I know coming close to graduation, maybe you just needed this nudge this morning. Stay the course. It's worth it. Stay focused. Stay faithful. And see things, amazing things come to pass. This next thought, give calendar time to the important things. I basically tied these two thoughts together. But Psalm 90, verse 12, Moses says, teach us to number our days. Recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. Isn't that a great prayer? I mean, isn't that just a great thought? You think about Moses, my goodness, he had some time to think. Grew up in Pharaoh's household, eating off the king's spread, and here he is in the desert, and then he's delivering Israel out of Egypt. I mean, my goodness, the guy had like 3 40-year cycles, and he would have the boldness to pray, man, help us to spend them as we should. This last thought, and we're going to close, eliminate the non-essentials. As I alluded to earlier, some of the best letters, the best word you can put over your life and your schedule, especially when you consider it through the lens of purpose, is the word no. The letter N, letter O, no. Well, how much time? You know, hey, we're going to sign them up for the sports team. How much time really? Oh, you guys travel every single weekend? Oh, you guys are consumed every single time? Opportunities for your family to grow in God, or maybe you're a business owner. My goodness, no can be pivotal. Listen, 90-hour work weeks. Listen, they happen, but they're not sustainable for your health, for the health of your marriage, for the health of your family. No can be powerful. We've got to be people who are willing to say no. Close with this, Hebrews 12:1. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. If we're not careful, we read that verse and we emphasize the three-letter word sin. But there's something that's written before that. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders. You know, there may be things in your schedule right now and they're not wrong. Like ethically, there's nothing wrong with them. Morally, there's nothing wrong with them. It's hey, I'm golfing 5 times a week. It's golf. What's the problem? You know? Or hey, I'm involved in this league, this basketball league. I mean, yeah, it requires 3 out of my evenings, but it's worth it. You know, it's worth it. Again, nothing, it's not bad. Or hey, I'm gathering with these ladies. We're doing these things. Time's taken up, but it's okay. You know, it makes me come alive. It just feels right. It feels so good. And it may be nothing wrong. But what you may not realize is just slowly but surely, here's what it's doing. It's just drifting your focus off of your purpose, off of the plan God has for you. I think of Jesus. Jesus lived a life on mission. There are multiple accounts where his followers, and I would even reckon some of his very own disciples, wanted to make him king. Not king in the spiritual sense, but an earthly king who would lead a revolution against the Roman Empire and liberate the nation of Israel in a physical earthly sense. They couldn't see the spiritual and supernatural mission and the purpose God had given. All they could see was through the earthly here and now lens. But thank God Jesus didn't follow their encouragement, didn't follow their wants and desires, but he followed the purpose he had from his Heavenly Father. And I want to encourage you, Are you, would you say, as we prepare to pray, would you say, listen, your life is submitted, surrendered, yielded to the purposes God has for you? If it's not, will you do me a favor? Will you process these words today? Maybe listen to the message online. Or if you're listening online, maybe re-listening to it, maybe looking over those notes again. Spend a few quiet moments throughout this week just saying, okay, what's the purpose? What's my plan? You cannot take this on the fly. We're not about a fast food faith where we're just adding God to our already busy schedule. No, we want to be people that are yielded and surrendered to His plans. That our calendar, our time, our vision, our purposes, we say, all right, God, what is your purpose for my life? What are your plans? God, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your great love. It's in Jesus' name, amen.
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, hillsidechurch.us. God bless.